Good day and welcome to the informational training session on Timely Progress Reviews conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Adele Barr. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you very much and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about the Timely Progress Reviews that will be upcoming. There are a few things that we just want to ensure that you're aware of. There are no changes at this time. This Social Security is going to release some timely progress reviews, and we just want to make sure that you're abreast of what's going to happen. Your responsibility, which is your current responsibility, hasn't changed, which is to advise your beneficiaries on their timely progress. So without any further ado, I'll just go ahead and then we'll open this up for questions. So again, welcome to the Timely Progress Review information training session. Let's first talk about the Timely Progress Review overview. So on the next slide, okay, well, what is a Timely Progress Review? From here on, we're going to call it a TPR. So a TPR is a review of Ticket to Work participants' progress toward a work and earnings goal that is conducted approximately every 12 months. And the review is designed to determine whether ticket holders are making progress toward a goal of work and earnings that eliminates either the SSSDI or the SSI cash payments. And the review is conducted by comparing a ticket holder's current work and earnings as well as educational achievements against timely progress guidelines established by Social Security. And ticket holders working with a service provider under the ticket program are not guaranteed protection from a medical CDR indefinitely. Rather, ticket holders must be making timely progress and meet all requirements of the ticket program. When ticket holders fail their TPR, they must successfully complete reentry to regain medical CDR protection. And, of course, passing a TPR usually renews their CDR exemption for at least 12 additional months. And, of course, it is critical that service providers thoroughly understand this TPR process, and it is the responsibility of you, the service provider, to assist the ticket holders throughout this TPR process. Okay, let's look at the next slide with protection from a medical CDR. The medical continuing disability reviews are used to determine a beneficiary's continued eligibility for SSDI and SSI cash benefits. Medical CDRs typically occur on a regular schedule, such as maybe once every 3 years or once every 5 years. And the exact schedule for a medical CDR varies based on the nature of the disability. Participation in the ticket program can grant medical CDR protection to ticket holders. The ticket holders must assign their tickets to an EN, an employment network, or to the state VR agency. Medical CDR protection is granted when the ticket status is set to in use. Okay, on the next slide, we talk about your responsibilities. So I mentioned at the beginning, it is your responsibility to ensure that you understand, as the service provider, the TPR process, and you must further ensure that your clients fully understand the TPR process, the steps that it takes to complete the TPR process, and, of course, the consequences of failing a TPR. As a service provider, you should be fully equipped to answer all questions from your clients regarding TPR. Social Security does strongly recommend that you encourage a timely response to the initial TPR notice, as well as subsequent requests for additional information. If a ticket holder fails a TPR, you should actively assist a ticket holder with TPR reentry so that ticket can be placed back in use, and then again, the ticket holder will have medical CDR protection. Okay, on the next slide, there's a little bit about the TPR process for the overview right here with these little blocks that help us have a better understanding. For the TPR process, that first step is to check whether or not earnings in the Social Security system meet the TPR guidelines. If they do, then the TPR has been met and no notice is sent to the ticket holder. The ticket holder will never know that a TPR even occurred. Okay, and if the earnings do not meet the TPR guidelines, the next step is that Social Security sends a notice to the ticket holder that they have been selected for a TPR. On the next slide, we talk a little bit about the Step 2 details. Now here, the selection criteria for TPR are based on many factors, including the current pay status of the ticket holder, CDR classification, ticket assignment, and previous TPR history. Ticket holders receive a selection notice letter, which contains a letter with the TPR specifics for that individual ticket holder, the TPR requirements chart, and the form SSA 1375. Just so that you know, TPM must receive the SSA 1375 from the ticket holder within approximately 55 calendar days to begin the process review. On the next slide, you may have already seen the 1375, but just a quick glimpse of what it is. We look to have, if you haven't seen this, this is just a sample, and we intend to have another cleaner version going forward, but right now, just so you can have that quick glimpse if you haven't seen it. Again, just a sample of 1375. On the next slide, we talk about TPR outcomes. If a ticket holder passes a TPR, medical CDR protection is usually extended for at least 12 additional months, and no follow-up letter is sent to the ticket holder regarding the pass. The ticket holder receives the next review after the ticket has a period of at least 12 additional months of in-use status. And looking on the right side here, if a ticket holder fails the TPR, a failure notice is sent to the ticket holder explaining the option to appeal. And if the ticket holder is unsuccessful in appealing or chooses not to appeal the failure after the appeal period ends, medical CDR protection ends for that ticket holder. The ticket holder is subject to regularly scheduled medical CDRs, and the ticket holder will not be selected for future TPR selections until and after that successful reentry is completed. On the next slide, we'll look at what happens when the TPR requirements are not met. Okay, so what happens when a ticket holder fails a TPR? The ticket remains assigned to the service provider. Medical CDR protection ends after the TPR failure appeals period is over, and the ticket status is now changed to not in use. So the ticket is still assigned, it's just in the status of not in use. And the next medical CDR will be conducted during the time that the medical CDR would have been scheduled to occur. And just good for you to know, you probably already know, but failing a TPR does not result in an automatic medical CDR. We have a little diagram here at the bottom, and this will help us better understand. But for example, let's assume that a ticket holder began receiving their benefits in 2017 with a medical CDR scheduled for every 3 years, and then they assigned their ticket to an EN in the same year. The next year, in 2018, the ticket holder fails to meet TPR requirements. Now, after the appeals period ends, the ticket holder loses their medical CDR protection. However, if you look here, you'll see that a medical CDR does not occur automatically in 2018 or in 2019. Rather, the medical CDR would be conducted in 2020 according to the regular schedule. So again, just important to note, I know sometimes that's the concern for beneficiaries, not having that CDR protection. They think, well, now that I failed this, I'm going to have a CDR. It is not the case. That happens when it is regularly scheduled. It does not happen when they fail a TPR. Okay, let's look at the appeals. Social Security review. Ticket holders may appeal failed TPR decisions within approximately 55 calendar days, and the appeals request must include evidence of progress made, and that evidence could be a copy of their pay stubs, an unofficial or official transcript or a certificate, a copy of their certificate of, or diploma for completion of an educational program. Ticket holders can fax or mail their request, and specific contact information is provided in the TPR failure notice, and Social Security will make a final decision based on the information submitted in the appeal and mail the decision directly to the ticket holder. If the information provided is still not adequate to pass the TPR, the ticket holder will be sent a final failure notice with information on the process for TPR reentry. Going on to the next slide. So here we have a chart that helps us see what the TPR reentry is like. The process of reentering the ticket program after a final failure notice can be performed by a ticket holder at any time after a final failure notice. And the request for reentry should be submitted with evidence of passing the requirements, as I mentioned, the pay stubs, the official or unofficial transcripts, a copy of the certificate or diploma for completion of an educational program. And ticket holders should wait after failing a TPR until they have successfully completed the requirements outlined in the TPR guidelines before making that attempt to do the TPR reentry. And if a ticket holder successfully completes TPR reentry, they usually earn at least 12 months of medical CDR protection. Of course, this is assuming that the ticket is assigned to a service provider still. Now, the ticket holder is notified by mail of the successful reentry, and the ticket is placed in use, and that is effective the month and year of the reentry decision. Now, if a ticket holder fails a reentry attempt, no change will be made to the ticket holder, to the ticket status, which is it will remain in not in use. And the ticket holder will be notified by mail of the failed reentry attempt and provided information about the process to appeal a failed TPR reentry decision. Okay, next slide. We have some information for you where you can access the TPR requirements online. You'll want to go to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. You'll select Program Operation and choose Requirements under the Timely Progress Review in the left navigation. Now, of course, we've provided where you can see these online, but we do have a glimpse of each of those requirements, so we'll go through those, and then we'll open up the lines for any questions. Next slide, please. Okay, so the first review, as it's indicated here, you have 3 months of work at or above the trial work level. You want to make sure that they complete at least 60% of a full-time course load for an academic year in a 2 or 4 year college or technical trade or a vocational training program. Now here, very important, this little note at the bottom, a combination. What is it? What does a combination mean? The combination means that the ticket holder can complete part of the work and part of the education requirements. Sort of like you're making your own little menu when you go out and order a combo. So Social Security counts parts of the ticket holders complete as percentages, and SSA will total the work and educational percentage. And, of course, we all know that to have a whole, it needs to be 100%. So these, the amount of the percentage that they work and that they complete their educational process, you want to make sure that it totals 100 for the ticket holder to receive a passing TPR score. So that's that first review. I did also mention, or didn't mention, but in this first review, they can obtain a GED or a high school diploma as well. Next slide, please. Second review, you can see here at the bottom, also a combination, and it could be a combination of the 6 months of work at or above the trial work level, completing at least 75% of full-time course load for an academic year in a 2 or 4 year college or technical trade or vocational training program. And we go on to the third review. Again, here you have also this option or the capability for the beneficiary to do the combination of either the 9 months of work at or above. Now we're going into the substantial gainful activity amount. Complete a full-time academic year at a four-year college. Or complete a combination of the above work and education requirements. Or complete a two-year college program and earn a degree or certificate. Or complete a technical trade or vocational training program. So that's, we've covered the first, the second, and third review. Let's go on to the fourth review. Here, a combination of either the 9 months of work at or above SGA, again, completing a full-time academic year at a four-year college. And the fifth review, here again, the combination is accepted with 6 months of work and work and have earnings in each of those 6 months that prevent the SSDI and federal SSI cash benefits, or complete a full-time academic year at a four-year college, or, of course, again, that combination, and or complete the four-year college program and earn a degree or certificate. And let's go to that sixth review. Here you don't have the combination option. You want to make sure that they're looking to achieve 6 months of work and earnings in each of those 6 months that prevent the payment of SSDI and federal SSI cash benefits, or complete a four-year college program and earn a degree or certificate. And the last one, which is the seventh review on the next slide, 6 months of work and earnings in each of those 6 months and prevent payment of SSDI and federal SSI cash benefits. So those were the seven reviews. And the next slide, again, some additional resources for you. You can always go to our website, yourtickettowork@ssa.gov, and information, you can go to choosework.ssa.gov. And for any questions, you can always submit those to TPR Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. But what we'll do now, we have some experts here eager to answer any questions that you may have. So enough of me, Mary, you can open up the lines and provide instructions on how to ask those questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will now take our first question from Joe Nelson. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Who is on the line?
Joe Nelson.
Hi.
Hi. So it seems to me that if somebody's struggling and they're not quite making the wage criteria, that it would be better for them just to unassign their ticket than have them go to being not in use and having to jump through all those hoops.
Well, this is Carol Dempsey. Well, if they're in there and got in use and they fail it anyhow, it's still just going to be assigned. So they're not really losing anything but trying.
But then they have to jump through all the hoops to get it back in use again. But it just seems like a lot. You know, these people are in the program for a reason. You know, they're struggling and they have issues, and it may raise its ugly head any time, and it takes them a while to get their medication back in order or get their life back in order and to, you know, come back up again. And so, you know, a lot of my clients, they kind of go up and down and up and down, and if we've got to jump through hoops to get them back into, you know, pay or whatever, I'm just seeing where it'd be better for them just to unassign it, you know, until they get to where they can get up to SGA or something. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of regulations for the type of program that it is.
It is. That's why we are trying to help them out. Like now, before we couldn't get their earnings on prior, prior in use. Now we can get their earnings on most jobs and most wages, so we'll have that automatically without them having to worry about that. And they still get the medical protection as long as they have in use. And when they go out of in use, it still stays assigned. So I realize what you're saying. But it's, you know, better to get a little bit of CD protection than none.
This is Patrice. I also wanted to add, of course, as long as the ticket is assigned, we do want to see that there is some progress being made. So if a person is not at the place where they're able to make any earnings or they're not in a program where they're able to advance towards some sort of employment, then, yeah, if we're not able to work with them towards employment, then you wouldn't really have that ticket assigned anyway. So if the ticket is going to be assigned, we will, of course, look to see that there is some progress being made. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you.
If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our next question from Raymond Beloine. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Is there a way that I can check to see if a person has had the review? I've had situations where they have not had reviews, or a way that I can check if they have failed a review apart from calling Social Security? Because right now I'm just having to call the Social Security office, and it'd be so much easier if there's a way. Is there something on the Secure portal that would indicate, A, if they've had the review, where they are in the review, and B, if they failed a review?
This is Carol Dempsey. We're working on that. We haven't got it through yet, but we are working on it that you can, you'll be able to look at the portal and find it. But it's still under construction.
Okay, so right now, how can we find out? I guess the only way now to find out is to call the will or call Social Security. Is that the only way we can find out at the present time?
The ticket holder will receive a notice if they fail the TPR. So you can ask them if that has been sent, and that's one way, just through your communication with the ticket holder. If they're unaware, then you can reach out to your contact at Social Security. Of course, they would need some sort of release of information to be able to give you anything, of course, that contains PII or their benefit status or anything sensitive. But you can reach out to, if you're in touch with your will, to find out, or the ticket helpline to find out the status of their TPR review and if they've had one. If the beneficiary has had a TPR review and has not received a failure notice, the expectation is that the review is either ongoing or they've passed. There is no notice right now saying that you have that you passed your TPR. But if they fail, they will receive a notice. So that would be your first line of questioning, would be with the ticket holder. Your
notice
service
does have what review it is on the notice.
Good. So they're basically having that rapport with their beneficiary. Thank you for that, Raymond.
We will now take our next question from Peter Mead. Please go ahead.
Hi, I put this one in the queue. Thank you for doing this session today. So I'll give you a scenario, and maybe other people have had scenarios like this too. I've got a ticket holder who was in the program for 18 months, met the year one timely progress requirements, then unassigned the ticket at the point of 18 months. Now, 2 years later, she wants to reassign the ticket. Does she begin again just at the point where she left off? When she left off, she had 18 months, so this would put her in year two of the timely progress review, so she's got to meet the year two requirements. Is that her status?
It depends. If it's a reentry or an appeal, I'd have to actually look at the case.
It wasn't an appeal or anything. She's simply unassigned. She did not fail CDR and is requesting reentry. She simply unassigned 2 years ago, and now she has reassigned. So there was no TPR involvement before this.
Okay, if it's the same period of disability, yes, but if it's a different period of disability, that person would start over again with a TPR.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same period of disability, and I guess that's going to be that case for most people, isn't it? Unless they reenter under a different disability.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Mary, we'll hold off on some of the phone questions. We'll see if in the chat if we have a few questions from there. John, were you able to help us with that?
Absolutely. Our first question comes from Shireen, who asks, for the 12 months between reviews, is that a calendar year? And if not, when does the 12 months start?
It doesn't have to be. It's a 12-month review. It doesn't have to be like from January to December. It's just 12 months when they start. Like it could be February through whatever, just when they start.
Okay.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Stacy Clark, who asks, when the ticket is not in use, can the EM still get payments?
Yes. As long as it's assigned, they can still get payments.
All right. Perfect. And our next question comes from Jamie, who asks, can you tell us more about what counts as successful reentry after failing the TPR?
Well, for a reentry, they have to prove that they have, depending on what review they're on, that they have completed that review. They need to send in copies of, like, school or wages, things as, such as that.
All right.
Does that answer your question?
I believe so, and I'm going to just go ahead and put up that appeal slide that gives a little bit more context there for that. And then our next question comes from Kim, who asks, could you give us more details about what a not-in-use status means for both the ticket holder and the EN?
Well, assigned just means they're assigned, of course, to a EN. In-use means that they've signed the work information, and the EN has signed the work information, and it is an individual work plan, and then it is sent to the to us, to Maximus. And that way, that will start the in use. As long as they are trying to make, they're making progress, that's in use.
Deborah, right. Could I add more to that, Carol?
Sure.
Little bit more to that? Okay, there are multiple status, okay, and as Carol said, a beneficiary could be assigned to an EN, but they also could have an in-use status or a not-in-use status. If you're assigned to an EN and you have a not-in-use status, yes, your ticket is still assigned to the EN, but you did not pass the TPR. If you're in-use, then you did pass the TPR. So in use and not in use refers to your TPR status.
Okay. And this is Adele. I'll actually add, in use, you're receiving your CDR protection. Not in use,
correct,
you do not have CDR protection. What does it mean for the EN? As the EN, you continue to work with your beneficiary to meet them to that, to get to that status. Basically, that sums
right.
it up. There isn't any real change on your part because, again, the purpose of the goal of the program is to help beneficiaries meet or not depend on their cash benefits, and so that's the purpose of the program.
And remember, once they fail, you can always re-enter if they start making timely progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that helps. A lot of us jumped in on that one. All right, John, I'll take one more from the chat. Okay.
Our next one comes from Whitney, who asks, is the TPR sent to the ticket holder from Social Security, and is the EN notified when the ticket holder is under a timely progress review?
Yes, the letter's sent, all notices are sent through Social Security, and it will explain the timely progress, and it will give them 1375, I think it is. It'll give them that they need to respond back to us with, and it's simply just checking, yes, you have a year of college, yes, you have wages. We just need to have them fill out that. They don't need to have proof until an appeal.
All right, and I'll pass it back to the operator, Mary, to ask a couple more questions from the phone queue while I catch up on the questions we've just received from the chat.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from John Duplessis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, I want to know what is considered a debt that to a beneficiary that has failed a TPR maybe on more than one occasion, or that they can't participate in a particular program anymore. What classifies a debt?
John, this is Adele. I have a hard time understanding the question. Could you repeat that one more time?
Okay. What the question is that what is considered a death sentence to a beneficiary that fails the TPR?
Yes, that's the word that I'm missing. What's the benefit or what is the consequence for the beneficiary if they don't?
Yeah. If they continue to fail the TPR, what is a death sentence to a beneficiary?
Well, if they fail a TPR, it just doesn't get medical protection anymore. They can be pulled for a review, a medical review.
Okay, how many times? Go ahead.
If they start making timely progress, they can reenter into the program.
Okay, if they fail the TPR on more than one occasion, would that give them a death sentence in terms of participating in the program?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. So no one needs to get hysterical because they failed the TPR once or twice, right?
No, we want them to make progress. So we're not going to not have them in the program.
Okay, right. Well, that's good. I just want to know, would they get kicked out the program or how would what would happen if they failed the TPR on more than one occasion? So,
yeah, there's no maximum amount or minimum amount.
And they won't have medical CDR protection if they fail their TPR, but they can still participate in the program.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
We will now take our next question from Charmaine Lemastro. Please go ahead.
Hi, Charmaine.
Hi, I'm sorry. I had to get off of mute. Can you hear me?
It's okay. It happens to the best of us.
Okay, so what my question is that in the sixth and seventh review, it says making earnings that prevent SSI or SSDI. I know it's above SGA, but how much? What's that amount? Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
The amount is any amount over SGA if they've already had their trial work period.
Right, so it sounds like it would depend
on the
which year because
had.
Those amounts change yearly.
Correct.
There we go. So it would depend on which year the review is being done. Does that help?
Okay, so it sounds like it's at or above SGA's when year six and seven, or year six, they determine if. Okay, that makes sense. And then my other question is that never mind. I think I've got my question answered. Thank you.
Okay, we're here to think it through. No problem.
And just as FYI, you may want this slideshow is you can print it out also.
True. Yes. Thank you,
okay,
Charmaine.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Amanda Swenson. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
I just had a question. Since the TPRs have been on hold for so long,
You know, just for an example's sake, you know, if someone, if a beneficiary had passed their last TPR review, and again, just for example's sake, it was their third year review, but the last time that they were reviewed, it was back in 2014 or 2015, whatever, whenever, before they stopped. If they get selected for review in this upcoming year, would it still be considered the fourth year review, or would it be built on top of each other so that it's now their seventh year? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you. It's a good question. The years that we had, we did not do TPR, they get an automatic pass. So they don't
all of a sudden
have to make that those years up that we didn't do TPR. That makes sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
That was the light bulb moment. I love it. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Ken Williams. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, everybody. My question is what systems is Social Security using to verify earnings in regards to the timely progress?
Unfortunately, our computer person isn't in the room. Can you put that in the writing and we will answer it? Oh, Debbie? Do you know the answer to that?
This is Deborah Tennessee speaking. From what I understand, Social Security will pull that information from multiple sources where they have earnings. Now, if you want to know the name of the specific system, I'm not sure I can provide you with that.
No, what I'm curious is if it's being pulled from the same systems that are being used to verify earnings for payments for EMs, because those systems are notorious for not being accurate as far as earnings, because those earnings don't necessarily always get into the system. So my concern is that people are going to be notified that they are failing timely progress because Social Security is not able to find verified earnings, yet the person is working, those earnings just haven't somehow gotten into the system.
Okay. Now, what that means at the very beginning of the presentation, Adele went over what the process was. In the first one, the first step, I'm not sure what slide it is, but it had four blocks on that slide. But it shows you the first thing would be a search of Social Security systems for any earnings information. If the earnings information is not in the system, it does not mean that the beneficiary did not have earnings. As you said, we may not have gotten them yet. That does not mean the beneficiary didn't have earnings. All this means is at the time that we did a selection and we looked in the system and there were no earnings, then that meant that that a notice will go out to the beneficiary because we it didn't pass the check for earnings in Social Security system. It does not mean that the beneficiary failed a TPR. It just means that this isn't a beneficiary who's identified to complete a TPR because Social Security did not have the earnings for that period in the system. But it's not an automatic failure.
Hi, Debbie.
Okay.
Let me just piggyback. I just wanted to add that there's different methods we use to collect the payments. We even have systems where the beneficiary can put in their own wages. So it's not just one system that we have. We go through quite a few different avenues.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I would now like to turn it back to John and Adele for any web questions.
Thank you, Mary.
All right.
Go ahead, John.
Our next question is going to come from Daniel, who asks, would employment training such as CDL training be counted toward TPR progress?
There's different methods. We don't just consider such as college. We also consider a lot of other different professions. I don't have the book right in front of me, but we do give credit for things like that also.
All right, perfect. Our next question comes from Howard, who asks, it was my understanding that Ticket to Work only protects against financially triggered reviews. Does it now protect against all reviews?
No, it does not. Work CDR is still going to be, it has nothing to do with of this at all. They're a separate subject.
All right. And then our next question comes from Sarah, who asks, what is the turnaround time for TPR Help Desk to process a reentry request?
Deborah, do you know that?
I'm sorry. Sean, are you on the line? Hello, Sean?
Actually, Deborah, he didn't call in too. If he's in a participant, maybe he is, but maybe we can write that down.
It's
actually give you an exact number of days right now, but if you write that question down, we'll get a response back to you.
All right, I've recorded that question. And then our next question comes from Michelle, who asks, does complete mean that the beneficiary must pass all of the courses completed?
No, there's different criteria. Go ahead. There's different criteria that we have for each review and what type of, say, they're getting a master's or they're getting a high school diploma. It's different.
So I believe the key word here is Michelle is asking, do they have to pass the courses?
I believe they have to. I can answer that if you put that in writing, but I believe you have to have a passing grade.
Yeah.
All right.
In fact, I'm really sure you have to have a passing grade.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then our next question comes from Rise Inc., who asks, if an individual is successfully closed with a state VR and no phase one payments are available, meaning the individual needs to work at SGA level, then which review do we advise them on to maintain continuing disability review protection?
I needed that one in pieces also to make those connections.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that one more time, John?
Absolutely. So the scenario is an individual who successfully closed with a state VR. So for the EN, no phase one payments are available, and the individual will need to work at SGA level. Rise Inc. wants to know which review period for TPR they should advise them on to maintain their CDR protection.
This is Deborah. The payments and the phase ones have nothing to do with it. There are different requirements for each review. So, for example, a person could be in their first 12 months and get an SGA level. It doesn't mean that they have to maintain SGA level for the second review, because the second review, I think, you only have to maintain earnings at, it's at trial work level. So just because a beneficiary earned his earnings over trial work level doesn't mean they automatically fall into one of the review periods that require SGA earnings. So you have to look at each review as far as the time frame. 12 months after the first review, then and the beneficiary passed that, then 12 months after the second review, whatever the requirements are for that particular review, that's what happens. So it doesn't have anything to do with closing, from the VR or phase one milestones, all paid out or any of that. You just have to look at the time frame and the requirements for each subsequent review period. You know, it's not like skipping.
All right. And our next question comes from Nadia, who asks, if a person fails at a fourth review, then completes successful reentry, do they go back to the first review requirements, or will they continue at the fifth review for their next TPR?
They will continue on the fifth review.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'll take one more question from the chat, and then I'll pass it back to the phone line. Do you check for IWPs for progress reviews, for TPR progress reviews?
No, we do not. Not for progress reviews. They get their whole full credit.
All right. And I'll pass it back to you, Mary, to take questions from the phone.
You will now take our next question from Steve Dirk. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Steve. So my question is regarding, you know, when someone signs up for the ticket, these periods of time start at that point. In other words, the first year on the ticket, the second year on the ticket, the third year on the ticket. So that's my first question. My second question is, if someone, so for example, someone's in up for the second year 12-month review, which is 6 months at trial work level, or 75% of full-time course. So let's just assume looking at the work level. So let's say they do not pass that. But they worked 3 months at the end of the year, October, November, December, and then they worked, but then we're into phase number three, 12 months review. They worked, they're going to have to complete 9 months, not 6 months of trial work level. They're going to have to complete 9 months of work of SGA.
Well, first of all, we usually wait 12 months before we start the progress, before we start the TPR.
Help us a little bit, Steve. I heard first that you said your first question was something about signing up for the ticket. You said there was a first
year. Once someone signs up for the ticket, I tell them that they're not going to have a medical review, timely progress for 1 year. Okay?
Okay, that sounds accurate. If their ticket is assigned, that's 1 year. Okay.
You know, and what I heard on this call is that if they do pass the first year medical review, they're not going to be told that they passed it. They're just going to, you know, have passed it. Correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
so far we're on track.
So the first year they complete their 3 months. Okay, second 12-month review. Okay, so 1 year after the first year, they're going to get another review. And then they have to complete 6 months. Okay, so I'm saying is that if in that period of time they don't complete 6 months, they complete 3 months at the end of that year, the second review year, October, November, December. Okay, they then failed the second 12-month review. Correct?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so then they continue working into the next year. For January, February, and March. So then they did complete the 6 months, but was not within that second 12-month period review period. So this, what I'm asking is then they have to do the 9 months of SGA?
Go ahead, Debbie. I thought you were talking.
No, that was not me, because that's one I can't answer. I think I understand what you're saying. Basically, during the second 12 months, they failed the review, and they
but it ran into the next review period, and they just continued
exactly.
to work.
I see what you're saying. They failed the requirements for the second review period, but by the time they're with the program for 3 years, and they're in
right.
to 36 months, so like the third during that review period, they have 9 months at SGA. However, because they failed the second review period, what happens with this? Carol, could you answer that?
I think
the question basically, is basically, do you have to pass every review before you could proceed onward to the next one?
You do, but it's not a yes-no question. If he could put that in writing, I'll answer him.
Yeah. Because I think that you won't get the beneficiary will not even get a notice for the third review if they have not, if there hasn't been a successful reentry or an appeal for the second one. They won't get anything until that second review is resolved.
But we
let's say they failed the second 12-month review period. Okay, but they're working. Mm-hmm. But they didn't pass the second review, so they're no longer in use. So they continue mm-hmm. to work to try to get reinstated. Mm-hmm. So then mm-hmm. Are they going at that point? Do they need 6 months or nine to pass what they're doing? Is they're passing the second year review? They're still working on the second year review, or are they going into the third year where now they have to do 9 months of SGA?
No, they have to pass
rather than the 6 months of trial work level.
No, you can't skip. What we're saying is they still have to put that second year. It currently as it is now, and that may be a question that you might want to send in to look at, but I believe the way the rules are right now, and Carol, you could correct me if I'm wrong, they have to resolve that second review before anything else happens. And when I say resolve, they have to pass it.
That's correct.
Well, that's what makes sense to me. Okay, so now they're working on the second review period, but they're in the third year. Because they did not pass the second review period.
That second review period is the time frame. Okay, let's use some dates. Let's say their first review was was December 2017. Okay, for that whole year, those 12 months, January to December, and they passed that. They hit three months of trial work level. And then their next review period was December 2018. They did not hit 6 months of trial work level that we had earnings for, and they didn't send, anyway, they failed because they only hit 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're into 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to send them anything to December 2019, which would have been 3 full years with the after the ticket was assigned because
mm-hmm.
review number two, you still have to resolve 2000. What year am I into now? 2018, where from January 2018 to December 2018, they did not pass that review year. Now, the question I think you may be asking is the review period and the review year the same? That's the question, Carol. You can't. That I think maybe is some confusion. One, does it go over to another year
that's my question. Is do you jump into the next period where it's a stronger, it's a stronger requirement, or do you complete one level at a time, no matter what period of time it's been being reviewed?
Again, if you would put that in writing, because there's a couple different ways they can do things. So if you would put it in writing, I'll answer it individually.
That's all.
Okay. Good question.
We will now take our next question from Albert Oladi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, anyway, I have a simple question. I hope maybe you mentioned this already. There's two questions. Actually, how is a person selected for the TPR? And the other question is, there is a window in which a person is due the review, and in that review, there's evidence of income, let's say SGA. Is that person still scheduled for that review? Those are my questions.
We do not have the person here that knows how to select them, the actual individual. So I'm sorry to say, you got to put that one in writing too.
Hi.
And I'm sorry, what was your second question?
The selection. The thing is that if there's a date that you plan to have the review, and you get evidence that the person is making SGA, do you still perform the review? Or
yes, it's done by computer. Yeah, it's done by the computer. They will select them for the for the TPR if they see a certain amount of earnings.
But it doesn't matter. Once they have a review schedule, it'll go forward.
Yeah, we mail it after.
Okay.
Yeah, we mail a letter. We mail actually the three forms to the ticket holder that the computer generates when it sees the earnings. Generates
okay.
From Social Security.
All right. Thank
Thank you for that, Al. We actually are at 2 minutes after the hour. What we'd like for you to do, if we did not get to your questions, please send those in and we will submit those. And also for those in the chat, we have recorded those and we will provide those after as well. Again, thank you, everyone, for your participation and for your attention. Please have a great rest of the day.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation.
All right.
You may now disconnect.